All the Rage with John Bowd on www.tracksfm.org.
Welcome. Sorry, you caught the tail end of what me and John were talking about. Then we're talking about John Lydon and his the beginning of John Lydon, which I thought was great, especially the media just focused on Sex Pistols. It wasn't. Is that there was a lot more to it than that, and the importance of his or that contribution to music, especially the UK. What the other side of me and John were actually talking about was stop going on telly and flip flopping and talking rubbish. But you know, John will do what John does. Welcome to John Bowd's All the Rage. It's very warm here in London. Very warm. I could almost get a tan. Apart from MPs getting arrested for sexual assault over a period of years, and their political party knew all about it, as well as the mainstream media, John, take it away.
Yeah, I've not tuned into the news yet. Has that MP been named yet?
No, but he was absent from House of Commons, and pictures of him have been surfacing. Of him and Jimmy Savile. My opinion is that the mainstream media have always had something on him, as they do most MPs, and they release it when they've had enough of them. That's how this country is in a constitutional crisis. But we're not advocating that sort of behaviour, because I think they're all at it anyway. John?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's kind of, we should go into this in more detail on the show sometime, but it's basically, that's the kind of thing that J. Edgar Hoover did. I mean, he just basically had dirt on everyone. And I think, I remember a conversation with my dad many years ago when he basically said, I think Rupert Murdoch is the new J. Edgar Hoover, basically. He's the guy who's got dirt on everyone, and he just shields it out there when he feels like it. And if you find someone that he hasn't got any dirt on, because there isn't any, like Jeremy Corbyn, then he just basically tries to crucify him in public as hard as possible, because how dare you exist in a world where I don't have power over you?
Look, I have no problem with the media doing some stuff and saying, well, here's an honest report. We went out, we investigated it, we spoke to these people. It's all fairly transparent. The world, or certainly the country's version of journalism at the moment, is people sitting around a table talking about what the papers say. That's it, that's their version of journalism. But if you look at how they treated the last, before Mr. Corbyn as a leader, Ed Miliband, they labelled his father a traitor who passed away. So the man can't even defend himself. And then the next leader said he was anti-Semitic, this special word, as I said, no one even knew existed. Now, if they said, well, he's anti-Muslim or he's racist or whatever, I can understand that. Because that's something that we face throughout, you know, throughout the country. I'm sorry to say it, but outside London, there are racist people. But, you know, and for John Major to say in a public inquiry that Rupert Murdoch walked into his office, no invite, no appointment, and told him to pull the Maastricht Treaty, when that process went through Parliament, your MP, or your MP did or didn't recommend it, or whatever, for someone, total stranger, to walk in like a member of the cabinet, bypass parliamentary process and say, pull the Maastricht Treaty. And for John Major to admit that, and nothing happened. Not a thing. Not a diddy bird. That's disgraceful. We are in a constitutional crisis in this country, John.
Yeah, and we have been for a long time. Now, we're actually going to talk about a little bit of workers' roundup news. So if you're a regular listener to this show every so often, as I say, you probably obviously know that Dave and myself are trade unionists. Now, I don't do a purely trade union show, because that's not what this program's about. And more than happy to do that if someone wants to fund me to be able to have the time to do a weekly trade union show. But we like to jump in with certain things here and there, because it is, of course, a major, major factor of our life. You know, I am a vulgar materialist, I suppose, when it comes down to it. However, before we start with that this week, I just want to say something that I think is worth pointing out, as it's a bit of an update on our show from last week when we covered the anti-trans movement and their links to the far right. So someone named Rachel Riley commented on the Sunday just past that criticism of J.K. Rowling was based not on anyone's disgust of her extremist views on trans rights, spoiler, she doesn't believe in them, but because she stood up, I'm not quite sure how, to the Labour Party over their allegations, mostly proven to be lies, all proven to be exaggerated, of anti-Semitism, which happened during the period when the party was led by a 100% working class agenda leader and someone who's not a cuck for the ethno-fascist state of Israel. It's another example, really, of how shaken up the establishment were by Jeremy Corbyn. They manufactured outrage and told lies, and they used their media machine and traitors inside the party to destroy all of our chances of having a better life. Also, as Dave mentioned already, discussed Ed Miliband, the mainstream media that were so shocked and appalled by supposed anti-Semitism didn't mind deploying it quite a fair bit against Ed Miliband and his family, not least, as Dave mentioned, his very noble and great writer of a father, a great activist too. Telling him that he was an alien to this country, of course, because he was a Jew who fled persecution. Also, I don't actually understand the position of J.K. Rowling on the Labour Party, as for some reason she has often expressed opinion upon this party, and I've got absolutely no idea why. Even less of an idea why anyone would actually pay attention. I don't know why anyone cares. And Rachel Riley, I really don't have any idea who she is. I think she's one of Countdown, but I don't watch Countdown because I'm either at work or I'm writing this show during the day. So apparently it is now anti-Semitic to be in favour of trans rights, or just to have an issue with middle-class twerps who are raging transphobes like J.K. Rowling is. I just thought that was worth mentioning because, you know, it was only last Wednesday that we covered anti-trans extremism. And this tells us all we need to know about these two absolutely rabid extremist movements that we have heard so much from in the mainstream in recent years. That would be transphobes and Zionists. These demented psychos are consulted on things that they know nothing about, and they get away with slandering those of us who are standing up for freedom for the most oppressed people, be they trans people or Palestinians. This is just a week after Israel murdered the Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akra in cold blood in the streets of Palestine. So, Rachel Riley, I don't know who you are, but I do know you're a dumb twat and you can fuck off because you've got nothing to say. And while you're at it, you can take Lawrence Fox with you, because I would really... I was thinking of doing, just before I get into the main part of this show this week, Dave, I was thinking of doing something, if only I can actually ever remember to do things from one week to another, which is... A call out to the BBC to say, please justify for us why we should be worried about you getting shut down, taken over, or basically privatised. Now, theoretically, I don't like the idea. But yet again, I noticed this morning that the BBC aren't the only people to do this as far as political losers are concerned. There's a lot of them on Preston's show on ITV too. But for some reason, keep inviting on of their flagship political programmes complete and total tossers who have no real connection to any politics whatsoever. And sure enough, once again today, they had Lawrence Fox on something. So a man who's a pound shop Tommy Robinson, who failed to get anywhere with the actual mayor, you know, London mayoral election. I would be wary about this. I don't want to get anybody in any trouble but about talking out of school, but I do know, kind of know someone who kind of knows someone who kind of knows someone. I might be exaggerating that slightly, who has connections at the BBC. And they told me that is after the vote for the last London election, when Lawrence Fox got about four blokes and a dog voting for him. And they came up to the BBC crew and said, like, oh, would you like to interview Lawrence? And I went, no. Why the fuck would you want to talk to that loser? It's just an absolute state and a half. So BBC, my latest call out to you this week, please justify why we should actually be bothered about you being privatised, because right now you might as well be. You know, basically you just exist in this little media bubble where you pick people who you can get on and who you know are going to say stupid things. You're constantly platforming extremists and quasi-fascists like Fox. Fail-son Fox too. I mean, really, this, the absolute runt of the Fox litter, the man who's done nothing and gone nowhere except be the second-hand man to the kind of straight man to the guy that was a straight man to Inspector Morse, and that's the greatest achievement he's ever had. Bloke can't even keep hold of a wife, you know, so why is this bloke on the telly? But anyway, so BBC, please justify yourself. Dave, do you want to add anything to that before I go into the main...
No, not really. My views on the BBC are a little bit like their music and their recruitment of paedophiles and children, kiddie fiddlers. And their music policy is a joke. I remember in the late 90s, they were all cool and hip-hop and dance. and it changes their views on everything, not just music, changes on when the music director changes, head of music comes in and changes everything. Another head of music comes in and he changes everything. And they just go off with that, with a payoff on public money. So my view is, if you're not cutting it and you're not, well, they're saying that, I do like Radio 1 Extra. And Capital Extra are good as well, because I thought Capital Extra wouldn't last, and I was wrong. I mean, it's not that bad. But I think their digital output is a lot better than their conventional radio output. But what do I know? John?
Yeah, Capital's on Global, isn't it? So that's another one of those terrible. God, I hate those people. And, yeah. And on the subject, BBC, stop giving me programmes with fucking people in Jane Austen costumes. I'm sick of that shit. And if you are going to you insist on employing paedophile DJs, at least actually make them decent DJs. Anyway, a little report popped up this week, which I thought was worth commenting on, from a group of an organisation called, or a group if you like, called New Yorkers for a Fair Economy. And it's on the issue of antitrust. So it was released, as I say, I think this week, and it detailed legislation to enforce antitrust laws to prevent the consolidation of power over employees by some of the biggest corporations in the world, focusing in the report on the effect Amazon has had on the delivery sector. So according to this report, New York workers are facing stagnant wages, deteriorating working conditions, and fewer options to change employers due to increasing corporate consolidation and unchecked monopoly power. Sounds kind of something we can all relate to, though. A recent US Treasury report found corporate power is costing workers about 20% of their wages. The report highlights three key ways that corporations have increased power over workers. Increased consolidation, meaning workers have fewer options for changing jobs. Increased use of restrictive contracts, such as non-compete and non-poach agreements. And fissuring of the workplace, more employers and contractors being misclassified as independent. Again, I think we can name that tune around these parts too. With corporate consideration, corporate concentralization increases, workers are harmed, be it through wage cuts, degrading work conditions, wage theft, and labor law violations, the most common ways. This is also shown to not only increase concentration across local labor markets, but also drives down the labor force participation rate, meaning some workers are pushed out of the labor market entirely due to corporate power. Labor markets are more susceptible to corporate concentration because changing jobs is difficult and time consuming, plus other factors like family commitments tend to make it a little bit more difficult. The material reality means employers can exert power over workers at much lower levels of concentration than current antitrust laws take into account. So New Yorkers for a Fair Economy say that the report that they in this report that they want New York legislators to pass 21st Century Antitrust Act. If you're interested, it's also known as S933A-A1812A. This legislation would ban restrictions on workers' ability to change jobs and hold dominant corporations accountable for anti-competitive practices that undermine wages and working conditions. While antitrust has gone from being concerned with preventing companies from enacting monopoly powers, it now concerns the interests of workers, consumers, and democracy as a whole. It has now grown to include specific areas of work, not least in the big tech companies who have tried to gain much more power, including over workers' lives. Not only has this been a case for preventing companies from getting too big, but from colluding to fix prices in the classic sense of antitrust. The way in which large numbers of companies have merged into huge corporations has led to the need for a greater understanding of how these laws and rules should apply. A little quote from the report here. While dominating labour markets is technically illegal under current antitrust law, it is hardly ever prosecuted, and current antitrust precedent sets the bar for determining dominance in a market far too high, leaving too many workers subject to the powers of dominant employers. End of quote. Most antitrust activity, aside from a few high-profile cases, have been quite dormant for the last 40 years. New analysis by the Bureau of Labor Statistics data by which was published by data by New Yorkers for a Fair Economy finds that the entrance of dominant firm Amazon into the market for both warehouse workers and delivery drivers lowers pay substantially in these industries. So this is why I'm talking about this, folks. You know, when I first looked at this, I kind of was trying to understand the connection between you know, large scale laws and rules about antitrust and what that affects and has on workers. And then, of course, if you look at a company like Amazon, it's much easier to see. So basically, while they try to dominate everything that they get into and try to get into everything anyway, I've no doubt they'll be doing bloody, you know, funerals and pool repairs next or something. But yeah, they basically, when they do come into your sector, they lower the pay and make the conditions worse. The growth of e-commerce, which has been led by Amazon, has doubled employment in the warehouse industry. This is an industry that has long benefited from strong wages due to heavy unionization. Adjusted for inflation in relation to 2020, wages fell by more than $6,000 as Amazon expanded between 2010 and 2020, and it was nearly $5,000 for drivers. Working conditions have also suffered at the hands of dominant corporations and firms who impose conditions including lower working hours without facing competitive pressure to increase compensation. There are so many examples of the derogatory change of this work that we could use, but this particular report included, I think, a very useful testimony from somebody named Anthony Rosario from the Teamsters Local 804. He's a driver who works for UPS, and he gave us the following quote. "This used to be a job where you earned a middle-class wage and could spend your evenings and weekends with your family. Amazon is changing that. When a corporation grows this powerful, they can set wages and working conditions for the entire industry." End of quote. As a Teamster, a very powerful union in the US, Anthony notes that Amazon pay people half as much for doing the same job that he does, along with increasing quotas and weekend work. And this is starting to trickle down into the rest of the industry. And he says it is also affecting his family as he now works longer hours and he's missing his kids' sports events and things like that. This is an issue where government needs to be much stronger. Reagan weakened the antitrust laws as part of his small government, which is a total lie anyway, part of his small government agenda. And today we are living with the consequences, also living with it internationally because these things do like to spread. What we need is for trade unions to become stronger as worker representative bodies and be able to push government, no matter their colour, to enforce regulation that stops any corporation from gaining this level of power over people. While CEOs are still rewarded for their endless greedy quest for power, workers are made well aware that they are easily replaceable, their health and safety is irrelevant, and profit comes above all else. This fear is installed to keep them from any feeling of security or feeling that they are worthy of a decent living wage. The 21st Century Antitrust Act, according to the report, would put workers back at the heart of antitrust law where they belong by explicitly pointing to labour market dominance as worthy of antitrust scrutiny and prohibiting practices that corporations use to prevent workers from finding a better job or pushing for better working conditions. End of quote. The Act bans certain restrictive contracts, such as non-compete agreements, that harm worker mobility, meaning they are free to search for new employment if their paying conditions are reduced. This is also in line with national efforts to restrict corporate power, restricting worker mobility. It also says that any employer with a 30% market share can be held accountable by public antitrust enforcers or private actors for driving down wages and working standards. So basically, you know, pulling them up for doing our wages, basically. For example, if a dominant employer is able to use its power to degrade working conditions by extending hours without increasing compensation, they may face antitrust scrutiny. Again, that's a sentence straight from the report, and I think a very, very good one. Specifically to the case of New York, the bill institutes a state-level merger review in that state, giving the Attorney General powers to assess mergers and potentially block them if worker harms are likely to result from these things happening, including such things as layoffs. I must say, I think this would be a large level of politics at play here in order to actually make this work. But again, if unions have the right powers, we can make it far more likely that this is not going to happen. I mean, I just feel like with the way Congress and all those sort of things work, you know, where basically one senator or two senators can block something from going through, I'd find it difficult to see this happen. Maybe at a state level, it's different. And obviously, anyone from New York is for a fair economy and more than welcome to come on the show. I would love to speak to you. But yeah, I've really thank you for this report because I've really found it very informative and quite inspiring too. It's always good to see what we can actually do with legislation. New York could end up being the first US state to explicitly put labor protections into their antitrust law, which would be setting a new standard. The act also closes a critical loophole in New York antitrust law by allowing the prosecution of single firm contracts. Just again on another good quote from the from the report. Too many mergers in recent years in New York and across the country have been approved based on the vague and often illusory premise of consumer benefits, while workers pay and the very real price of seeing their jobs eliminated in the name of efficiency. End of quote. Antitrust is not a magic bullet, of course, but with a worker-focused agenda behind it, there is much that could be achieved here. What is interesting is in the language of the pro-market types. If the language of the pro-market types were enacted, this is vital to actually make things genuinely competitive for all businesses to have a chance. So they all say this is what they want, you know, competition. But frankly, you ain't getting it unless you've got those antitrust laws. So once again, it comes back to big, bad government having to actually have a role to play in this. Otherwise, you're all going to get screwed. It's as simple as that. So I was thinking about this a bit, Dave, with what we've seen, especially in this country with the gig economy, where, among other things, what we've seen happen is so many of these companies that don't give you the hours, but then basically effectively bar you from going to find work anywhere else. Or if they call you up and you're in the middle of doing something else, they'll basically fire you and take you off of their thing. But I just expect you to sit around at home not getting paid, waiting for them to call you. And there's bigger fish with corporations, as it were, doing this kind of thing where they are actively, legally preventing workers from finding work in other places. You have to basically be tied to us. They're really going hell for leather on the new feudalism, I think. What do you make of all this?
It's interesting when you mention New York and London are very similar in that they're very receptive to workers' rights to a degree. Even Joe Biden welcoming trade union leaders to the White House and talking about the gig economy and stuff like that. But the more further south you get, and the more further north you get, as in the UK, people are very angry. They're poor parts of the country, they've been neglected. As I mentioned, MPs up north in the UK, when they've come and visited us as a trade union, and they've said, well, look, I've got to be honest, a lot of my constituents couldn't spell cosmopolitan, let alone be it. It's very similar in New York. The situation in regards to workers' rights, and again, for some reason, I think if you're over 50, you'd get what the mainstream media would talk about the 70s, the winter of discontent, and things like that, and it was all bad because of the unions, so don't let them back in. But the fact of the matter is certainly in the UK, there's still a lot of trade union legislation that does protect workers. But we've got to watch out. We've got to be careful of what the media or the billionaires, non-paying billionaires, or the 1%, which is the only wealth in this country, is 1%. They're not the majority, it's just 1%. And they'll send us certain slogans like, for the Brexit campaign, more control of what we want. More control of what we want. What they're actually saying, the millionaires, and convincing working class to believe, is that we have no control under the EU. And what they want is more control in the workplace. That is getting rid of health and safety, the workers' hours legislation, getting rid of that, getting rid of contracts of employment, and promoting a gig economy so you can fund that 1%. We've got to be real careful and clever. But unfortunately, the latter part of that statement, it's never going to happen. You know. So all I would ask people is to stop and think who's going to benefit, who wanted it, and why. Yeah? Just think about it. I'm not asking for the world. I'm not asking you to be a professor. I'm just saying think about these slogans that we get thrown at us. Why would you do that? Why would you say that? Show me some analysis. Show me the poor, how much poorer in the UK and how much rich, and then we'll make a decision on that. And don't wait for every 4 years to get brown trousers, because that's the only time you get to make a change is every 4 years. In between that 4 years, they could give a less about you. I promise you, John.
Yeah. You're getting dangerously close to sounding like someone who knows what they're talking about there, Dave. And as you know, we're all sick of experts. So, you know, we can't have any of that. You know, we're all sick of being told what to do by people who actually know what the fuck they're talking about, who actually never tell us what to do. They just tell us what we should do.
Well, I'm happy to turn this into a sports show and we can talk about football and Arsenal and Tottenham and things like that. And then that, but that's just a distraction.
Yeah, first time caller. I've got to say, right? I mean, I thought the Arsenal back in the other night. I thought they were really, but I can't believe that. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, can't believe how they went down to Tottenham. I'm flabbergasted, mate.
That's fine. I we can open up the call and we can have a debate on the back four and all that stuff.
I'm never doing that fucking show.
It's never going to be reality because already John made a statement that me and Dave are trade unionists. The media have a slogan for us and you fall for it every time. They'll call me and John loony lefts and that badge will stick to us. There's a badge with trade unionists called loonies or people who want a pay rise. I've noticed lately, especially NHL workers who want a pay rise, the next day it will say that their union are loony lefts because these people need more money. They need to survive. Just because we said, look, thanks for the clapping, but don't put food on the table, especially now. So we're not loonies, okay? I reject that slogan. In fact, stick it up your arse, John.
Yes, I want workers to get a pay rise in line with inflation and in line with the money that they need to actually live on. I want more companies who are creaming tremendous profits, such as the one that we work for, to end up giving that money to the people who created that profit for them, quite simply. I want people not to have to use food banks because I want them to be food secure. I also want them to be secure in their dwellings so we reduce the hideous growth in homelessness and the hideous dependence we have on landlords who are absolutely parasitic scum who really shouldn't even exist. I want working class people to have power over their own lives and to be properly represented throughout our society. If that makes me a loony left, then send in the lunatics because I'm glad to, in fact, stick that on a t-shirt and everyone will know you're advertising this show. I'm happy to be that person.
Can I just get rid of a myth here, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
What we're advocating is we don't want people to be who are doing well for themselves. We don't want them to not do well for themselves. We wish them all the best, right? You've worked hard. All we're saying is that how much is enough?
Yeah, and I don't want you to be doing well on the backs of other people when they're suffering. They're having to visit food banks.
There's more than enough to go around, okay?
Yeah, but I don't accept greed as a decent motivating factor.
Yeah, I just, you know, how do you sleep at night, you know? And I'll say it again. I'll tell you how it works, okay? I've said it so many times. I'll tell you how it works. You pay your workers more. They go out and spend in establishment that also treats their workers right, proper. Then those people go and spend, and then it goes on and on and on. And we all pay a fair share in something called social security, which is what this is invented for, where we all pitch in, because it's a good old British thing, we all pitch in, and help the vulnerable, okay? Since 1980, it seems to be vulnerable means sponges. There's a slogan out there called sponges. Sponges, social security, you've changed it to benefit, and now if you ring up benefits because you've lost your job, and it's going to be a lot of, I'm not laughing actually, I do apologise, you'll be picked, the phone will pick up and they'll go, hello, debt management.
Yeah.
Right? And then those people say, to those poor people working in the TWP, PCS members, when did that come in? When did that change? It's on the telly all day, and the newspapers say that you apparently you've got PS5s and plasma TVs everywhere in a big house, you know.
Yeah.
And just on that, to the PCS members who report back, and I do read there, I'm on their forums, a large percentage of calls, they have to flag up suicide cases, and I think it's coming up to out of 100%. It's about 35%, where a large percentage of claimants or people who have to access social security are on the verge of killing themselves or survived a suicide attempt, which is a scary statistic, John.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, to say that. To point out to the kind of people that we're talking about here, you know, oh, we're not against your success. Well, actually, I might be against what you consider your ideas of success are if they involve basically treating other people like crap and having to see people as less than you in order to make some kind of worth from your pitiful little existence. And I will challenge people on that. But yeah, I know what you're saying. It's not a question, because the accusation you get on the left a lot of time is, oh, you want to make everyone poorer. No, that's not really true. I might want to make, you know, Philip Green poorer, because I want all of that tax money that he's been dodging for years and years. And I want to make Vodafone poorer because they've been doing the same thing. And I want to make Elon Musk poorer because he's a fucking psychopath who's a great danger to the whole world. And what I really want, however, is not to make them richer or poorer or anything in between. I want to make them less powerful. I want to stop them from having control over our lives, over the vast majority of people's lives.
Exactly.
As I've been... Go on, mate.
They're not... That's what we're saying. That's the con.
Yeah.
The con was that the EU won't give us control. That's the con. Yeah, it does need shaking up, that bureaucracy. Don't get me wrong. And I think we were in a position to... We could have been in a position to do that. But the control... has never been with the EU. The control is right here. Your enemy's there. It's right here.
Yeah.
Right?
We don't need... Yeah, the EU is a terrible institution in many ways. We don't need to be leaving it in order to... as if we're going to go into a wonderful new free world. No, we're not. We're just going to be taken advantage of by the people in this country. I mean, to give you a quick example, I'm actually doing... I'll come back to this in a couple of weeks, right? Because I've been doing some other work today on future shows. So... The TUC recently pointed out, I'm doing something about worker surveillance. Right, I want to cover that maybe next week after. We'll see how it goes. I've got some interviews coming up, so we'll see what happens. But the TUC pointed out that the government recently consulted on diluting the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, as part of its post-Brexit divergence agenda, despite it providing some key protections for workers against surveillance tech. You know, so you can actually go for a piss without being fined for it. The EU is actually currently putting in place laws dealing specifically with the use of AI of within the UK, artificial intelligence. However, whereas the UK actually don't have anything like this, they've actually just literally just tried to junk it. They're trying to make us less free. They're trying to make us poorer. They're trying to make us more afraid of our overlords, which is what more and more of our employers are becoming. Now, if people don't get this, or some yuppie cocksucker wants to smugly grin about it when I talk about it, or some estate agent, I don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. This is the facts of what's happening on the ground. And these are the people I'm coming out for. What is my political agenda if I had one? My political agenda is fighting for the rights of the working class. Now, I've always said this, you know, if I've ever gotten to a position of power, it's not that I'm necessarily going to overtly take anything away from the middle class. Actually, not. I'm going to leave you to your own devices. You all talk about wanting to be free from government interference. Well, if I ran government, believe me, you would be free. I'd just leave you to it. But don't come to me with your begging bowl like you did when your coked up representatives in 2008 flushed the world into an economic crisis and people who had nothing to do with it ended up losing their homes and all this kind of shit. You know, and then governments imposed austerity in order to recover the money. Austerity? Why didn't you get it from the bastards who stole it in the first place? You know they did. You know, that's the kind of thing I would be looking to do. If you commit crimes like that, I would come after you and with all of the power of the state that I could use. And again, there's wider arguments about state power, and I'm more than happy to debate with any anarchists who I deeply respect their political position and ideology. I don't always agree with it. But, you know, I understand they're not looking to get larger state authorities. But I'd rather have a state authority, one that at least has the strong possibility of control by its citizens. I mean, one way you could do it right now, I mean, I think we discussed this the other day, didn't we, Dave? Just basically said, do you want to come out for something that we can all get behind from a political position? Like if the Labour Party wanted to win back some working class people, which they don't because they hate us. But, you know, you could basically say, vote for me, I'm going to repeal all of the anti-trade union laws. That's it, overnight. I'd do it by, if I got into power, I'd do it by lunchtime, okay, along with legalising most drugs and putting massive taxes on corporations. And wealth tax, you'd be lucky if I don't tax your car. You remember that great Beatles song, you know, listen to it. That's that was satirical for George Harrison, not for me. But yeah, and so yeah, I know we've gone on tangent a little bit here, but I think there's some good points that we've been trying to make here. You know, this, and I completely agree with this New Yorkers for a fairer economy about antitrust. I think it's just a brilliant example of bringing something that is a huge kind of like, you know, part of a much higher structure and bringing it down to the level to say, look, this is why we could actually stop Amazon from screwing you over just because you have the temerity to go and work for them. Yeah, I think it's a great move. And as I say, again, you know, shout out to the New Yorkers for Fair Economy. If you want to be on the show, please contact us. I'd love to talk to you in more detail about this. Sorry, Dave, did you want to add something?
No, I'm just want to tell people that the wealthy people, we're talking about the wealthy institutions, they'll never be poor. Okay, no. Let's just be very clear. They will never be poor, no matter how well they pay their workers. They'll still be rich. Okay, they're not going to be poor. I promise you, they won't have to go food banks or anything like that. I can 100% assure you. And their kids will inherit that wealth, and they'll never be poor. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
I can guarantee that.
Well, look at Lawrence Fox. I mean, absolute fail son of epic proportions. We have to put up with this twerp, along with people like Toby Young, too. Why? Because they absolutely live on inherited wealth. That's why. They are utterly talentless, and they live off that inherited wealth and have to poison the well that all of us are forced to drink out of. They're just classics of the genre. One day we'll maybe do a thing on, like, next time it comes up in the news, people talk about British values. And I always laugh to myself because I think there's two that jump out at me immediately. One is hypocrisy and the other is being a mug. Certainly English values anyway, because you look at what's going on, for instance, with our energy sector right now. You look at the energy companies and it's just amazing. You know, even in France, that country that we're all supposed to be encouraged to hate so much. And yes, the guy that's leading that country right now is an absolute worthless scumbag who nearly got beaten by a psychotic Islamophobic racist, but he's not too un-Islamophobic himself, no stranger to it anyway. And but at least they actually have rules about price caps. You know, you will not pay more than this amount of money for your energy. Yeah, so it's not like you couldn't possibly do that, you'd be interfering with the market. Well, that place that you can get to from this country on a train, they have it. Okay, it's only over a little bit of water, and they have it already. So do you want to tell me why the fuck you couldn't have it here? But anyway.
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is the message that we're not in control. That message is totally wrong. We don't have control right here, right now, right where we live. And it's nothing to do with the EU. We don't have control because the 1% decided you're not to have it. That's it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we're not in control because you people don't want to be in control. Okay. That's why we're not in. It's as simple as that. I come back to the same argument I used to have with people in my 20s, my late teens, in my 20s. And I used to have into my 30s. Oh, you know, you take life too seriously. Fuck you. You don't take it seriously enough. And that's why we're in this mess. Okay. I come back to that. I'm not one who's keen on tooting my own horn too much, and I suffer from a ridiculously crippling level of self-doubt. But I've never been more assured of something that the very least I can think of is I often think about wasting my youth. I didn't waste my youth because I tried to educate myself and went to as many gigs as possible and had a fucking great time. So at least I can be happy with that. While the rest of you were just basically switching off. Let's go to another party. Let's go. YouTube exists now. So I'm going to go on and look up children's television programs from the 1980s and look at them with a tear in my eye. Fucking idiots. Yeah. You built this situation.
Well, I'm saying is that when I see someone on telly with a view, I do check them out because of the wonderful thing called the internet, and you can see they're sponsored. The people that I tend to listen to are people like yourself who go out and walk the walk and talk the talk. I know I say that all the time, but and it's just the things you're fighting for, it's for people like me of my background, and I don't do enough. But I have views on people who come on telly and you know. And I check them out, and it turns out they're sponsored by, you know, right-wing media and so forth. It's the people that run on donations, have second jobs, that come on telly and talk about things. I tend to think, well, there's nothing in it for them for actually coming on telly and making a case for something. It tends to get my attention more. Whether that be cancer or whatever, the flu or whatever.
Right. But to be fair on yourself, it's not easy to do. I mean, you like many people have life responsibilities. So don't, you know, beat yourself up. You've got responsibilities that I don't have.
Well,
I'm able to go out and do these things more. That's always worth remembering. I'm not, when I get angry with other people, when I get angry with fellow working class people, I do it from an inside of it because I think, you know, we haven't fulfilled our own, not our fulfilled our own potential, that's crappy language, but we're basically letting ourselves get taken for a ride. And I'm allowed to have that anger within the collective. If I got it from anyone outside, you know, if I had middle-class people criticizing us, I'd tell them where to go. But we can do this because we are. And I say, you talk about being frontline. I agree with you, but we are frontline, the both of us. I mean, you are my branch secretary. I can't even move without you most of the time. As you well know from some of the stupid phone calls I could give you sometimes.
Yeah, we do a radio show when we should be talking about
how work. In the fuck do you not know this in the amount of years you've been a union rep? Sorry, dude, I just forgot.
When I talk about ethnic minorities, and I've said it here on more on one occasion, I think we're born with that. Ignore it. We're born with that. Just ignore them. You know, from the 70s and the 60s and the 50s, just ignore them. And it's no wonder that we have our own community things. Certainly a lot of DJs on Trax FM were brought up having our own house parties because we were never going to be accepted anywhere else. And they were very talented DJs and they would do their own thing. Notting Hill Carnival was a thing that's still popular today. and then many Asian festivals that try and welcome in other people, you know, but we tend to just say, ignore it. We were brought up, ignore it. And this goes back hundreds of years, you know, and we just ignore it. People come up to us and may say things in our face, but we're a society, the ethnic minority, where we brought up, ignore it, because we came here at the back end of people that just, some people, not all, this country sometimes. Sometimes, in the World War, certainly before, just after World War One and World War Two, we were working, as I said, I've spent many times with Albanians and we had to share food down the mines and things like that. This country's got a lot to be proud of. It's just that we tend to listen to the odd, I was going to say the W word there. And I want these W people, I don't even know how they became relevant. And you check out who pays them and it's just, can we just not... Can you put Mr. Ben on or something? You know, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Finger bobs.
I've already gone down a couple of blind alleys tonight, Dave, and I've only got one story about actual worker fight back. So I'm not going to go down that one, but we will come back to that question. How did these people get into power? All I'll say, just to close my point on this section off, all I'll say is, you know, I am, you know, an advocate for working class power, which is what I consider what you and I do to be. And I absolutely accept that. And I will not accept, you know, unfair criticisms and scapegoating. At the same time, I will criticise my own side. Okay. That is not, you're not, if you fuck up, I'm going to call you out on it. And I think that's fair. And you can call me out back too if you think I'm wrong about something. More than happy to do that. But I'm not doing this thing where we basically, you know, kiss our own asses and as Michael Moore said back in the day, you know, the left are so busy, you know, loving each other that we might as well go line dancing. You know, we're not actually challenging the wider thing. And if I think something's wrong, and equally, if I get it, if I step out, as I said last week, you know, when we were talking about anti-trans activism and the far right, if there was something that a trans person feels I didn't put in the show, please contact us and tell us about it. You're not going to get me having a moody or stroppy about it. You know, I've been corrected on things before. But anyway, that's all I'm saying on that.
Well, John, anyway, you carry on. I mean, I'm sorry, we went off on a tangent. But
it was a good tangent. It just means I'll have to probably split this show into two, but that doesn't matter. That's fine.
Okay.
Now, Amazon, speaking of France, Amazon workers in France have staged strike action, rejecting the company's attempt to impose a real pay cut and circumvent collective action. Prior to this is from the Industrial Union, the big international union, global union. Prior to negotiations between management and workers even beginning, Amazon sent private messages to all workers unilaterally announcing what it called a pay increase. Its 3% offer amounts, in fact, to a real terms pay cut, given that inflation in France is actually at 4.6%. It's always good to see a workforce via their union who understands these things. Quoting from the Do you know what? This is a thing I've actually taken where I got this. I think it doesn't matter. I can just put this in because I'll remember it. I've always got to remember, I can't remember what song it was, but Mick Jagger once said, we won't bother I think it was Can't Get No Satisfaction. We won't bother rehearsing this song for our live show because we've been playing it for years and years. Anyway, guitar riff kicks in, gets through the first verse, completely forgot the second verse. So always rehearse your songs. So anyway, the IUF, I think it is Global Union. Anyway, always good to see a workforce with their union who actually understands things such as how these pay cuts and inflation works, a good thing. Amazon workers and their union were quick to respond with CGT, CFDT and FO all calling for strike action. Because this is France and we go on strike all of the time. Love you people. Workers across the country participated in walkouts with major disruptions at 8 sites. And that's just because you suggested giving them a lower pay rise than you should have done. Amazon have reconsidered this initial pay cut. You know, I fucking bet they have. But so far they have failed to propose an offer that meets workers' expectations. They've seen growth and consistent participation are showing workers will not let these pay cuts slide. Unions have called on Amazon to respect collective bargaining agreements. One quote from Rami, someone I spoke to on the picket line, says, "We the workers are the true wealth of Amazon." Put that on a bloody T-shirt. Brilliant. Okay, the determination of these workers to fight for fairness at Amazon is inspiring, in contrast to the hypocrisy with which Amazon is attempting to push through a pay cut while pretending that it is an increase is truly on brand for them, really. And that announces this measure prior to the start of negotiation tells you a lot that you need to know, really, as well. The union movement is backing them 100%, said Oliver Rofing, Regional Secretary of the UNI Europa. UNI, that's it, UNI Global Union, finally. So that story is about a month old. I did hear that Amazon management upped their offer but failed to reach the projected inflation rate, and that was from the 14th of April. So workers went back out to actions on the 18th of April. So probably check in with that and see where they are now. Dave, do you want to add to that one or should I just go straight into the next one? No? Okay, I'll go into the next one. So, Croatian video games industry, first collective agreement, also from UNI Global Union report. This is from earlier this month. So, as you know, on All the Rage, we try to cover the world as best we can with only an hour a week. So, we do not always succeed, but when it comes to union stuff, we throw a pretty wide net. And so far, we actually haven't covered Croatia. So, I must say, I'm very pleased to be doing it this week. We also haven't covered the games industry in a little while. We do cover it on a pretty regular basis, so shout out to Jamie. But this is a story that combines both of those things. So let's do it. The Croatian trade union Novi Syndikat have signed a collective agreement with the studio GameChuck, with reductions in work hours, more days off, and a 10% profit share for GameChuck workers. It seems the most infamous form of exploitation in the games industry, which is crunch time, is presently absent in the Croatian industry, but only union activity will make sure that it stays that way. The collective agreement prescribes a shortened working week of up to 33 hours, a paid 45-minute daily break, 24 days of annual leave, and a systematic review and payment into the third pension pillar. Ben Patton, head of the ICTS sector of the UNI Global Union, said the video games industry is a juggernaut that unions must rein in Croatia and elsewhere. With this agreement at GameChuck, Novi Syndikat is showing the way to others who want to organize this growing sector. End of quote. So just to sum that one up, with the details here, we'll just go back over them quickly. So Novi Syndikat has guaranteed with GameChuck transparency of salaries and the company's business, 10% profit share for workers, shorter and flexible working hours, longer annual leave and free days, better control over the copyright, protection of workers' dignity, payment to the third pension pillar, and paid annual medical checkup. So everything we said before and just all of that kind of laid out there nicely. What more can I say at this stage? But excellent work, comrades, and keep it up. This is a sort of agreement, along with things like the absence of crunch, that can be pointed to by games workers the world over as an example of what can be achieved. If they can do it in Croatia, they can not crunch in Croatia and get more time off and a piece of the profits, then why not do it in the UK or France or the US or anywhere else they make games? So that's a really good bit of news that I've seen there, I'm glad to say. Dave, you...
Where are they based, that union, John?
So that is Novi Syndikat in Croatia. S-I-N-D-I-K-A-T.
So it's interesting they're not migrant workers because that's where they live. But so you had some guests on here of migrant workers local to us, who organised in the process or have written a book.
Class Power and 0 Hours by Angry Workers.
Yeah. And I found them highly intellectual, highly organised, very well spoken, and able to fight back against all the things that this country's always stood by. And here we are again. And as I said, it's about what's wrong in what. Why would you have? Why we as a nation, UK nation, and all the things that this union has fought for in Croatia, which part of it don't you like?
Exactly.
Just tell me. Don't. Please put the paper away. Put the paper away and switch the telly off. Listen. I'll say it again. Which part of that list that John just read out don't you like? Unless you're really rich, and I know you're not.
I know you're not, and I know you're never going to be, so stop fantasising.
Yeah, so please, just tell me which part is going to hurt our economy, which part as a person would like some of that. I'd like some of that. Or I'm retired now. Who's going to pay for it? I shouldn't say that because it drives me nuts, John. I'll tell you who's going to pay for it. The person that owns the company, he's got his vast profits, and I'll say it again. That family that own that computer company, they're never going to be skint. Don't worry about them. You'll be all right. They'll be fine.
Yeah,
they're exactly. Total strangers to you. You could care less about whether they're going to be poor.
Yeah. Why do you think the person down the road from you who has to visit the food bank deserves it, but this piece of shit, fucking greedy sack of shit who's never worked a day in their life and is hoarding all the profits that have literally been created for them by their workforce? Oh, no. You've got to leave them alone. My sister, what is wrong with you? And I know that as some of my leftist pals went out going, no, John, you don't understand. You know, this is how the media have constructed the idea of work.
No,
I'm sorry, it's ignorance, and you need to knock it on the head and get it out of your life.
Look, we've done the media, okay? We've done that, okay? We did that with Blair, okay? It wasn't until 2002, well, 2001 even, that I realised, oh my God, it's all media with this guy. Which part, I'll say it again, TraxFM at TraxFM.org. If you're really embarrassed, would you come online now? Come in the chat room. Where's that list, bits of it that you don't like? Tell me. And if you like all of it, would you like that here? Because you'd be in control. Ooh, control, more control. This is the control that we should be fighting for. John?
Yeah, do you want me? If you want, I'm just going to cut and paste the details of that and send them to you. If you want, you can post it in the chat room. So the thing you're talking about, hold on, I'm just doing it now. So this is actually what that union have achieved. And if you want to post it and say, look, here you go, this is what they've done, then go for it.
Why are you copying and pasting? Because I think normal working people would like those things. And I think it's utopia. We don't want, they want everything. Who's they? It's you. It's you, yeah. Not they, you.
And maybe we do want everything, considering we fucking made it. Why shouldn't we?
Well, this great country, I know I keep going to national. You know I'm pretending, John, but this great country, you know when I say that, this great country was built on people sticking together. A wonderful sense of community, a brilliant sense of community. And it prided itself on itself and a sense of community. You know what? We gave up that, and it had nothing to do with the EU.
Yes, you did. You gave it up to buy a new car every year and buy a bigger house and the guy next door to you and all of that crap, you know, sold it out.
It still is a land of opportunity. We're into the digital age, the digital revolution. I've mentioned this many times. And there's still ways of us upskilling ourselves. The trouble is, when we used to get free stuff, free upskilling organisations, we got rid of them because the community's been thrown out of this great country. But this country prided itself on community, and apparently at some point in the last 40 years, someone said, nah, that's no good community. It's everyone for himself. That's disgusting. We swallowed that. John?
Yeah. It is very grim. And there's still some good free stuff out there if you look hard enough. It's just they're not always easy to find, but technical skills, etc. In fact, I've got something this week about learning some podcasting skills, so I might ask you for a bit of time off in a couple of months. I have a week off work, see if I can learn that. Anyway, I've only got 3 minutes, but I think I can cram this story. Okay, mate, I've just got one last story I think is worth, we want to go out on a positive, right, which is the Renters Reform Coalition. They had a response to the Queen's speech, and I thought there was some good stuff in here for, again, going forward. So, by the way, a group of people who never sold out, Liverpool fans. The people of Liverpool. Just want to put that out there. I know there's getting a lot of nasty headlines for something they did that I completely agree with this week. Their football fans did that I completely agree with. So you've got a lot of love from this direction. Just want you to know that. Okay, sorry, the Renters Reform Coalition. Now, if any of you are not familiar with this Queen's speech, this arcane institution, the family and the process of the speech, both arcane, basically the government of the day give a speech to the Queen to read out, basically outlining many of the things that they pledge to do in the coming year or whatever. So our very important sovereign is basically a parrot for the government to claim that they're going to make the country strong, proud, and not at all any more dependent and piss poor, not to mention violating the rights of asylum seekers by shipping them off to Rwanda. Then they normally end up not doing any of those things except the last one. There have been various responses to this latest speech and all the things it fails to do or claim it will do so without any proof. But one statement comes from the Renters Reform Coalition, who began by pointing out that on the 15th of April 2019, this very same government announced, quote, private landlords will no longer be able to evict tenants from their homes at short notice and without good reason, end of quote. 3 years later, and there have been no steps made towards making this announcement reality, despite a renewed commitment to bringing forward the Renters Reform Bill. The bill, if passed, is set to include new laws that will end no-fault evictions, also known as Section 21, create a new ombudsman for renters to take complaints to and get redress from landlords, ensure the living standards in a private rented property are the same as they are in the social rented sector, and a database of landlords and property details for renters to access. As we all know, rents are rising around the country as landlords think they can do whatever they like because of being the position of owning a property, not actually doing any real work. This results in people having less and less options for control over their living conditions and making home ownership a dream at best, while rents spiral out of control. The private sector, private rented sector has almost doubled in size over the last decade, with 1 in 8 privately rented homes in England poses a threat to tenants' health. The National Audit Office recently found that reforms to date have not been effective in ensuring any consistent fairness for renters. The Renters Reform Coalition has many other reforms that they would like to see introduced, but in the meantime, they are happy to see this positive step. God knows why, as you know perfectly well, the Conservative government have absolutely no intention of doing anything positive for working class people, especially in the worlds of work and housing, not least because of how many Tory MPs are landlords themselves and have a very recent history of fucking us all over royally. Pardon the pun. Nevertheless, the coalition see this as a step in the right direction. So, okay, good for you. As they say, as they have said, by the way, quote, the time has come for the Renters Reform Bill to become law, end of quote. And they see their role as keeping up pressure on the government to follow through with this commitment. And that is certainly a place we can all agree and work in solidarity. So Renters Reform Coalition, again, welcome on the show. And I'm more than happy to provide you with any action on the ground, action, solidarity, etc. that I possibly can. I really do need to renew my legal observer training, actually, because I did that years ago and I haven't put it into practice, so I've probably forgotten it. But more than happy to stand and prevent any bailiffs from getting their ugly, disgusting, bullying hands upon you. More than happy to go toe-to-toe with that utter gaggle of human scum. But yeah, Renters Reform Bill, excellent work, and keep it up. Dave, if that's probably me for the main stories, but if you want to add anything to that, please do.
No, just be watching the news. It looks like we've hit mid-90s again with the whole sleaze thing. I think the mainstream media have had enough because they decide who goes into power. Not you. Never you. Mainstream media. If you don't like what I just said, then tough.
Tune into your show and go onto Twitter right now in order to see what level of sleaze we've dropped to so far. I await with bated breath.
Yeah, they'll put this under the carpet. And my view is, as Jazz Jim show when he was broadcasting on Tracks FM, mentioned even through the 80s, you know, they had hotels and stuff where paedophilia was going on, and they all knew about it, and they'll just release it when they die or when they've had enough of them. And I think they've had enough of them, but the trouble is there's no alternative. But John, many thanks for a wonderful show, and we'll catch you next week.
You will. Thanks a lot, mate, and have a great show yourself.
Cheers, Johnny.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Oh, God, the Rage with John Bowd. www.tracksfm.org.